Hello and welcome to our podcast, which is brought to you by GSK and Grit. This is the second part of our series on stress, and you may have already listened to the short recording from myself and Alicia on what is stress and what is burnout. In this podcast, we'll explore the lived experience of stress and how stress will be managed. So firstly, if we do some introductions, I'm Catherine Langran. I'm an associate professor at the University of Reading.
Okay, and I'm Alicia Benyavisama, and I'm a psychologist, and I run the lactose programs at the University of Reading.
And with us today, we have two UK pharmacists, Sosin and Pooja. So please, if you could both introduce yourselves and just give a bit of a brief background about your roles.
Yeah, so my name is Sosin Saber. I'm a pharmacist, a lead pharmacist in a hospital, and I've been in this position for a few years. I work as a big MDT, mainly in A&E, and then following patients up as they travel through the hospital while they're an inpatient.
Thank you. And Pooja?
My name's Pooja Kashyap, and I'm a community pharmacist. So I work in a community pharmacy. I work as a superintendent, and I used to be a regional pharmacist manager as well. So I've seen lots of different aspects of community pharmacy.
Brilliant. So if we get started, the very first thing we wanted to discuss with you both today is about how people recognise when they're stressed. So perhaps you could tell us, you know, about your own personal experience of stress.
Yeah, so from my perspective, I feel like there's quite a fine line between me thriving in a workspace and enjoying that feeling of working under pressure and actually just feeling completely stressed and that pure feeling of stress. So usually when I'm thriving, I can multitask, I can think of a lot of things in one go. But as soon as I am stressed, I can feel it, because that clarity of being able to multitask, being able to control a lot of things in one go just completely disappears. So I lose that clarity of my thought processes and my focus completely goes, and I get this overwhelming feeling of just being completely out of my depth, even though I may not be, but my brain convinces me that I am completely out of my depth. The other things that I do tend to do is I tend to just shut down. So all, you know, that what I would perceive normally as queries and valid questions and valid queries from my colleagues and from other staff, I tend to then start ignoring all of them, and I shut down all communications because I start perceiving them as interruptions when I do become stressed and just interrupting my thought processes. So that feeling of shutting down, I know when I do that, I am stressed. Also, that clarity is gone, that focus is gone, and yeah, my brain just completely freezes. So I'm just sort of frozen on the spot, and I don't really know where to go next and what to do next.
Gosh, like me, quite scary.
Yeah.
and Pooja, is that something that you feel the same, or is that...
So mine represents slightly differently. So mine's more of a physical sort of pain. So when I'm at the peak of being stressed, I will definitely know, because I tend to tense. So physically I will get neck and shoulder pains, and that's how I know that I've kind of reached my limit. So usually a stressful day for me would be slightly different to Sosin. So I could probably go about my whole day taking on responsibilities, and just thinking, okay, that's part of the workload. That's part of the workload. And I won't really notice that I'm stressed until I get a physical trigger. And then that would then be the tensing of muscles, the shoulder pain, headaches, that sort of thing. And at that point, I'll think, okay, I've got a bit too much on my plate at the moment. I need to reorganize what I'm doing because I'm getting stressed. And obviously the pain then has a knock-on effect with the clarity of thought, as Sosin mentioned. So obviously I'm not going to be performing at 100% if I'm suffering with a headache or something like that. So usually mine's kind of like a slow burner. I'll keep taking on more and more stress until my body would actually tell me, hang on a minute, there's something not right here. Also, maybe a bad habit of mine is that I try to keep calm to prevent others feeling stressed, because I feel like that makes me feel stressed. So I think to everyone else, it might look like I'm okay, but usually they won't know what's going on behind the scenes of me feeling stressed. So again, for me, those kind of physical triggers are very important.
Okay, and that's really interesting, that kind of emotional and the physical responses and how everyone deals with things in such an individualized way, and actually how the experience of the stress and what your body is doing is trying to protect you. In response to that.
And it's also trying to respond to give you more energy to continue with the task that you're expecting of yourself to be able to do, but it's a slippery slope, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that leads to my question. How does that stress impact you at work and outside of work?
So outside of work, so obviously because I've kind of spent my day taking on more and more responsibility, it would probably end up with me feeling quite lethargic and tired. So my first go-to stress relief is to just sleep. I could probably just come home from work, just take it as a really hard day's work and go straight to sleep. So it does affect my outside sort of social aspect of my life, because everything would just get cancelled or postponed because I'd be dealing with the stress at work by feeling tired, so feeling like I'd have to recharge and then just gain back that energy that I've lost. So if it's a long period of stress, then I kind of go into like an energy save mode. So you'll probably find I don't do the day-to-day activities that I like doing, like walking, baking, cooking, that sort of thing. And I'll just do the minimum that I need to do, won't really book anything social either, and then just spend my time recharging and sleeping. I think it's sometimes I mistake stress for just being tired, which is difficult. So if I do find myself sleeping a lot more, then I need to have that conversation with myself that is, are you actually tired or is this stress? So that's kind of how I cope with it outside of work. Inside of work, again, I find it difficult unless I have a physical trigger to say to know I am stressed. But usually it would, I think I probably eat a little bit more because I think I need the refuel and the energy. So lots of like sugary snacks, teas, coffees, that sort of thing to again recharge the energy is probably how I deal with stress inside of work.
What about you? So I suppose the impact on the impact of stress in work and outside of work is quite different for me. So in terms of in work, I know that when I'm stressed in work, I'm not going to be as efficient. It's really as simple as that. So all the tasks that I have to do in the day, I either have to choose to roll them over until the next day, which seems, I suppose, reasonable. But actually, it's not reasonable because it then impacts the next day. So if your tasks are rolling over, that you've already set yourself up to fail for the next day. So the main impact of lack of efficiency as a result of stress in work is overtime. So you stay longer in order to get those jobs done. And actually, sometimes it's not appropriate to roll things over for the next day, because in our job role, there's a huge element of patient-centered care. It's not, you know, I can't see a patient and then wait until the next day until I document their interaction. That's not okay. So I have to usually stay overtime. So then naturally, the impact of overtime will then impact on my home life. So I'll come home late, which means that I'll have less time to just calm down, less time to de-stress, less time just to do things for myself, whether it's self-care, whether it's anything creative, whether it's cooking with my husband, whether it's a social activity, which I really, really enjoy doing. All of those things get cancelled or impacted because I haven't been able to leave work on time. And that for me is how the stress impacts me outside of work. I suppose another thing that happens, I think whoever knows me knows I'm naturally quite energetic. I've always got thought process going, I've always got something going on in my head. But whenever I'm stressed, I'm wired. And when I come home and I'm wired and I don't have the time to relax, that means I won't sleep. I'm constantly thinking of the day. I'm constantly thinking of all the conversations that have been had, all of the things that have still been outstanding, the things I have to do the next day, while I'm trying to fall asleep. And often I found that I can be up until 3 a.m, 4 a.m, just completely wired, and I have to be back in work at 7 or awake at 7 to be in work by 8. So there is a huge ripple effect within work that then follows through to outside of work, which then follows through to the next day.
Yeah, you're both describing the symptoms of stress.
Yeah.
The range of it.
And interesting how contrasting they are. You know, one almost kind of the body's shutting down and making them sleep, and the other is kind of the body's going into overdrive, yeah, and they can't sleep as a result of it. And so it's interesting how different people respond in different ways, yeah, to stress in that way.
Because I feel like there's huge amounts of adrenaline when naturally I'm working, but then the stress, it just pushes that even more.
So kind of thinking about when you start to recognise that you are stressed. So Pooja, you mentioned you recognise when you're feeling very tired, and so you recognise when you're feeling kind of like, you know, really kind of wired and things like that. What do you do to manage that stress? What strategies or tools do you have to help kind of manage that stress? And Sosin, we'll start with yourself.
Yeah, I suppose like it's going to sound really silly because we're talking about strategies of mine to manage stress. But one of my main strategies is generally to try to prevent it in the first place. So as soon as I start my day, I'm organised, I've got a plan in place, if I've got a project, I've always set myself deadlines, exactly what I'm going to achieve and when. Obviously with clinical work, I don't know what patients are going to be coming in to A&E on that day. Staffing within our team is really, really variable, and sometimes just on the day I can find that I'm running the team on my own. So that's harder to plan, but I suppose the way I prevent being stressed in the first place is constantly checking in on my workload, constantly making sure that I'm on top of things, that I'm ticking off tasks, constantly checking in with my team, maintaining that communication, making sure that anyone who's struggling, whether it's myself or someone else, we resolve that quite early on so it doesn't snowball and escalate until the afternoon. And then you realise, wow, I just really don't know what I'm doing. So one of my first principles, I suppose, is just to try to prevent it happening in the first place. Now, when it does happen, when I do feel like I'm getting stressed, I know that I just need space. I really just, there's no point for me trying to push on in a situation when I know that I'm shutting down to everything around me. So I just need 10 minutes, 10, 15 minutes of just space without anyone speaking to me, just to regain that clarity, I suppose. And I tend to take my space in loads of different ways. So I might just quickly walk around the building, or I know like quiet spots in the hospital where no one can find me. So, and I switch my bleep off. I genuinely take the battery out of my bleep so that no one can contact me just for 10, 15 minutes. And I do not feel guilty about it. I might walk back to the office, so we're pretty much on the top floor, but I'll take the stairs slowly. And within that time frame, I will write a list. So I will write a list. I'll write out all the tasks that I have to do, because for me, I'm getting stressed because of the amount of work there is to do. So I'll write a list of all the tasks and I'll prioritise. I'll pick out, right, what is important, what needs to be done by me, what can be done by other people, what doesn't need to be done, have I just created work for myself, and what can be rolled over to the next day. So I try to use that time to reorganise my workload and regain that clarity. And that's usually one of my main coping mechanisms.
That's very good for grounding, actually.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, as you're saying, it's getting that space to reduce the cortisol to be able to think of that.
Right? Yeah.
And as you both have described, it's very individual how each individual's metabolism responds.
Yeah, exactly. And I suppose, like, in a home setting, when I come home and I'm wired, yeah, I cook. I tend to really, really enjoy just messaging friends and be like, should we just meet quickly for a coffee? Should we meet quickly for a drink? Like, so Pooja, I know that you said that you tend to shut down and you sleep. For me, I feel like if I can do something different, like feed my energy somewhere else, so go to just to the pub for a drink or to a restaurant or meet a friend and go for a walk, I've drawn a line underneath that day. And for me, that really helps with just stopping and then starting fresh the next day.
Mm-hmm. The view is perhaps about distraction and other, you know, focusing on something perhaps more positive.
Yeah, exactly. And, yeah.
I'm getting energized from those contacts.
Exactly.
It's just so interesting to see the different bodies, how we all react differently.
Yeah. And how about yourself, Pooja?
So for me, managing stress will probably be the similar to Sosin, is managing the workload, just because I'm always at a very high risk of burning out, because I'll try and perform highly throughout the day, as you said, overtime, that sort of thing as well. So burning out is a big issue for me. So then it's just taking those regular breaks. So in community pharmacy, it's always difficult to have a lunch break to yourself. So I will make a kind of a point of it to say, no, I just need half an hour to be able to take a break from the situation, have my lunch, and then think about the afternoon. So you're always going to have these red herrings thrown at you, sickness, different patients and that sort of thing. But I feel like if I know I have a designated space in the day whereby I can just think about what needs to be done for the afternoon or what has happened and what I need to sort of follow up with, then that always helps. So for me, taking breaks is a big one, but also scheduling those breaks in. And another thing that I've learned probably as I've gotten older is to actually ask for help. I think as a young pharmacist, I thought I had to do it all and be the highest performing pharmacist in Berkshire, but really that's not how it works. And then being in management and having peers and colleagues that can actually support you, I feel like that's really helped me manage my stress, because I can easily ask for help in different scenarios. And giving myself small rewards as well. So as Sosin said, she'd probably have like a tough day at work and then see her friends to draw a line under the day. I think having small rewards throughout the day as well is always helpful for me. So even if it is just the whole team can just stop for 5 minutes, we've done really well, we've finished X, so let's all have a tea break. That is always nice for me, because I feel like, oh, that stressful part of the day is over with and now I can just carry on with my day. So mine's more so little and often rather than, say, a large reward at the end of the day. So that's usually how I like to manage my stress at work.
Oh, that's excellent, as you're describing, because it's about recharging batteries rather than waiting until it goes to the bottom.
Yeah.
The other important point you mentioned is consulting with others. Consultation best practice, saying it to everyone from day one.
Yeah, definitely asking for help. And I really like that, you know, you reward yourself, but you reward others as well.
Yes.
Actually, pretty much everything we do is a team effort.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think that's fantastic.
Yes, yes. Okay, so excellent what you all have said. So in summary then, what advice do you have for others on managing stress? You know the workload, you know the nature of the environments you're in. What advice would you give to others, keeping in mind that we all function differently?
I think that's the most difficult part, is that we all function so differently. So I think as a general rule of thumb, because even though me and Sosin deal with stress really in different ways, we both like to organise our day and write things down, which I think is probably a good indication of that probably is something that works for a lot of people. Because if you know what your workload is and you know what is going to stress you out during the day, be it a meeting or a presentation, if you have it written down and you've got all of your other goals written down, it's kind of easier to achieve, and then you get that satisfaction and even that small reward of ticking it off afterwards. Also, another word of advice would be to not burn yourself out to the point where you don't enjoy your activities after work, because obviously you can start the next day as you haven't had a break, you haven't had that line drawn under your day, so the stress just continues for a longer period of time. So I would always say, try not to stop doing everything that you enjoy, even if it is like a half an hour walk or a drink at the pub or baking a cake. Those are all good signs of you taking time out for yourself. And then it stops the stress from carrying on. And as I said, share and delegate. So share your problem, consult others, and things that don't necessarily need to be done by yourself, you can delegate to your team. And even if they find that task's stressful, they can learn from you and you can give them advice on how they're coping with the stress as well, which I found nice as a manager. Is I know it might be a stressful situation, but it actually helps that person grow and develop their own coping mechanisms.
Thank you.
Taking regular breaks and recharging is fundamental, really, isn't it? So how about yourself, Susan?
Yeah, so I suppose from my, so I've been, you know, doing this job now for 10 years, I've been qualified. And I guess when I first started, I was introduced to really, not, I'm going to say unhealthy habits, but not really, you know, the best of habits, which were a lot of people use stress to validate their hard work. So they would, you know, be working hard, and if you weren't stressed, if you weren't rushing around, and if you weren't manic, then for some reason that would be perceived as, you know, you're not working hard enough. So I suppose one of the things that I have learned is stress doesn't validate your hard work. And actually, I can work hard, I can get jobs done, I can be efficient, and I can be calm and happy, and I can thrive at the same time when I do it. I don't need stress to validate my existence in the workplace. And I suppose that is one of the things that I've learned over 10 years, and one of the habits I've tried to sort of etch out of my own practice over the last 10 years. I suppose another really important thing is just to understand your own needs. So for me, for me, it's really important to recognise when I'm thriving, when I'm enjoying working under pressure, because I do, and when I'm stressed. And I think it's really important to, when you do recognise when you're stressed, I think it's important for you to take that time to yourself. I think it's important for you to recognise that you are not benefiting anyone, least of all yourself, by staying in that environment. And therefore, I think you just need to not feel guilty for having some space, regathering your thoughts, and then getting back to your job afterwards as a better version of yourself.
That's very good. And you have highlighted a really important point, which is, of course, an element of pressure is helpful and motivating.
Yeah.
But it's knowing that, having awareness that I'm motivated by this, or I'm feeling depleted by this.
Yeah, it's a really fine line. There's a really fine line between getting adrenaline and being like, yes, this is, I'm thriving, this is a really good environment, and actually being like, no, this is really unhealthy. And sometimes the line is blurry between the two, but it's really important to know what are your triggers and what are your either physical or mental triggers when you do get stressed, so that you know that you've crossed that line, and then you know how to take time for yourself.
Brilliant. Thank you, Sosin and Pooja, for sharing your stories. Thank you for your honesty. It's been really fascinating to hear about the different ways that you both experience stress, the different ways that you have to unwind, the different ways, kind of, I think the key things really are that self-awareness and knowing when you are becoming stressed and then making an intervention.
Yeah.
And I think that perhaps comes with time and with experience of being kind of stressed and perhaps experiencing a burnout. This podcast is followed by a final short recording with myself and Alicia. We'll be drawing all of the stress topics together. So we'll be giving you some strategies to take away on how to manage your stress and how to avoid burnout. We're enormously grateful that you've listened to our podcast, and thank you and take care.
Thank you.
Thank you.